The next word that comes out of your mouth better be some brilliant fucking Mark Twain shit. Because it's definitely getting chiseled on your tombstone.
Welcome to Loyal to the Gore. With
Eric.
I was born dumb, but you would like to be smarter, wouldn't you?
And
Ashley!
This isn't heaven.
But you ain't the devil. Is this ain't hell?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
We gotta go. We gotta get out of here. They're coming!
Is this our new podcast?
Oh my God, are we here? Is this Loyal to the Gore episode one?
I feel like something's missing, something itchy and flaky. And...
Nope. He is, hey, he's technically in us all. we all snorted lines of our old, the old show. That's in the dust now, much like Jeremy, who's super, couldn't be more dead. But we have reunited. Myself, Eric Woodworth, and the great Ashley Pontius are back. We couldn't get enough of talking about the things that we love the most, which is horror and all things that. Ashley, tell people about Loyal to the Gore in this first episode. What can we expect here?
Well, I mean, some of the things you've known us for in the past. Bad horror, good horror, titties, dicks, talking about people who are no longer with us because we can't move on. You know, it's the whole thing.
I'm doing a decent job of moving on. As you can see behind me, I have all of Jeremy's guitars and things now. So it's like I've slowly taken on the burden of his life over my years now.
I can't wait till your hair starts disappearing.
I did. It's going to start falling out, get sores all over my body. I'm going to look like Jorah Mormont from fucking Game of Thrones by season 3 of this.
No, you have such a nice head of hair. I can't wish that on you because I don't want to have to look at you every Sunday and be like, you know, you look great.
Can I just say that? Turn into Kyle Gass. Just
emphasis on gas. Can I just say that I'm pretty sure Cyndi Lauper wrote one of her most famous songs about Jeremy.
Oh yeah.
Make you look and you will find Jeremy time after time. He's in your car, he's in the corner, he's in your bed. Time after time.
So, obviously, this is the old show, Quality Time, and we've now switched it over to this new wonderful show with me and Ashley. Now, I did go out to Jeremy's estate, as I'd like to call it, because we're on the topic of Jeremy. And, you know, the problem with going through my brother's things is that, first of all, he came from our family, which means he's a bit of a hoarder, and problem one. But the problem is, his whole life, he's hoarded all the things that I also like. So I have to show extreme restraint for my obsessive and compulsiveness to say, no, that one can go. I can go in the trash, I guess. It's cool. That can go to the trash in a way. But
Miss a good chance for us to brand this show differently? A podcast where we only talk about Jeremy, and it's called The Horrors of Hoarding?
Yes. I mean... Listen, I tried to limit myself because, listen, things are things and you have to get rid of them. But I did pick through his movie collection. You were able to get some wonderful movies. Now, there are some movies that I have put into the collection, okay, that Jeremy's den, I'll call it. He spent most of his time in this little loft area of his home. And it is... Even though Jeremy's skin was cleared up by the time of his death pretty well, the flakes remained. And there... If you look through my collection, I know there's movies that I didn't clean off properly. They just have a light. There's just a little bit of Jeremy on top of them. And I know I was like, oh, I haven't watched that one yet. Maybe I should check that one out.
I tell you that you just picked up on the best metal band we could possibly start together called Flakes Remain.
Yes. Like, Like, I don't know if you can see this, Ashley. I'm going to hold this up. This is a copy of Miller's Crossing, great Coen Brothers film. And you see if you can see the edge of this movie a little bit here. Wait.
Oh, my God. I see a lips.
It's not quite blue. It's got a nice white dusty, as if it's been come from a CSI crime scene. And I know. Oh, that's the good stuff right there. Yeah.
Oh, that made me. That made me very sad. That was no, I mean, like some of our, you know, we hope some of you listeners to this very first episode, you know, we obviously hope a lot of you came over with us from Quality Time. Obviously, you know our full backstory of years and years and years on our previous podcast. But if you are a new listener, first of all, let us say welcome. We're super happy to have you here. But you can go back to our previous show, Quality Time, and still listen to old episodes and get acquainted with our group.
And I think we both agreed that this show is going to be a little bit different than Quality Time. While Quality Time was a vehicle that kind of became a deep depth, like, let's look at this one movie from beginning to end, this is a little bit more open-ended. It's a little bit more, hey, what is going on this week in horror? What scary things did you do? Would you rather die at the hands of a Saw character or be in the movie Hostel? These are the hypothetical and tough hitting things that we'll be taking on this show.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have been playing such a long game since I joined Quality Time about 4 years ago, and I was slowly inching us towards horror-based content. And then I was like, we're not getting there fast enough. So I killed Jeremy.
That's true.
That way, Eric would start a brand new from the bottom up podcast. You know, I have a domineering personality.
I have to, Soraya, insist that you did. So
shut up.
But we are here, and we're in keeping with new things. Ashley, what have you been watching?
Oh man, so I went and saw Immaculate.
This is Sydney Sweeney and her big juicy yabos in another movie. Yeah,
I don't get the hype of her. Can I just say her in particular? She's not pretty, right? I don't think it's sometimes right for me to talk about the beauty of other people. Like, I don't, but I have to tell you, I don't get the vibe. She's got these weird alien eyes that just give me the fucking creeps.
Well, I can say, as a man, big tits can make us look past a lot of things. It's it's true.
I get it.
But right, no, she does cool. have also a face that does, like, listen, if you just look at her face.
Yeah.
She could either be a top-notch actress or, honestly, love on the spectrum. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Truly.
Yes. She
I'm not
absolutely
sure she has the ability to give consent. Does that make sense?
Yes. Her face could go one of two ways in this movie. It's either autism or baptism. Like, I'm not sure. It could go one of two ways. But so Eric knows this about me. I love talking about stuff I've been seeing when I can recommend good pieces or if I don't like something. So here's what I'll say. I never spoil, as like, it's I hate the idea of spoiling shit for people. It's a brand new movie, I'm not gonna ruin it, but here's what I'll say. I'm gonna give it a B-.
Okay.
I will say it was generally well done. I didn't hate it. I will probably never watch it again. It wasn't good enough for me to be like, it's going in my library. It was fine.
Okay.
I mean, there were some good horror moments.
If you were to compare it to another film that you've seen in the, as far as genre feel that you walked away with, what would you compare Immaculate to? Because all I've seen is the trailer, and the trailer looks almost like, it gives me vibes of like the movie Mother or something like that. And
sure.
I don't know what it is. Truly, I have no idea what it is.
So, and I apologize if this is too much of like revealing anything, but I don't think it is. I don't think it is. If you look up the synopsis or whatever, I will say it's like a much worse Rosemary's Baby.
Okay. All right. I'll take it.
It just, I wasn't involved enough. And again, having maybe used that descriptor, I feel like I ran into a premise that I've seen too many times on some level. They believe they're making a twist on it, I think. but I didn't, it wasn't enough of a twist that I was like, oh my God. I'm like, what a dumb bitch. I was just like, this isn't helping religious people's cause. I'm like, just what a dumb lady that doesn't know how babies come about. This feels stupid. I wasn't impressed.
Okay. All right. Well, I do want to check it out. Obviously, I'll probably watch it when it hits a major streaming service at this point to see how that all shakes out. I myself have watched a couple of things, non-spoiler, but just to give you, and honestly, not all of them horror-based, but my final one is. Now, this is actually just a movie that I really did enjoy. Poor Things. I really did enjoy Poor Things from beginning to end. I wouldn't call it horror, but it's imagine you just took like one of those what's the fella's name that does like Life Aquatic and all those movies?
Anderson?
Yeah, something.
Wes
Anderson, right?
Yes, yeah.
Take a Wes Anderson movie, but have the main character get railed out every 10 minutes of the movie. There are there's about 5 or 6 lines in there that I spit-taked laughed at. All right, listen, this is Ashley, I'll probably cut this out, but there's a scene where you see the very lovely, I forget the actress's name off
the lead actress?
Yes.
Emma Stone.
And you see her, and the scientist goes, oh, what a lovely retard. That's just the vibe of this movie you get throughout. Very hilarious, gratuitous sex throughout. It does make you feel unclean and dirty to a certain extent, but overall, a fun movie about a woman, we'll say, created in a lab.
Does it feel like the life story of possibly a local comedy fan?
Yeah, it could be. Maybe. Mayhap. The other movie,
like, lovely retard. I was like, you got it.
Dude, the lovely, that line hits so hard in like the openings of the movie that I almost cried.
It's going in my vows. I promise to love retard. And serve you, you beautiful
So I love that. I loved Poor Things. Thing I didn't love recently, and again, this is more of a psychological movie, not necessarily a horror film, but I had high expectations for it from the trailers and such. I watched Dream Scenario with the great Nicolas Cage. The premise is that he is a regular professor, teacher, and a rather mundane life, and he starts worldwide showing up in everyone's dreams, which seems like a really cool, and there's definitely like some scary parts in it where people are having nightmares where he's in it. Overall, it's almost like reading a bad Stephen King novel. They set this beautiful table with all these characters. You're kind of like, okay, cool, yeah, all right, I like this. And then big popcorn fart for the third act. So wasn't a huge fan of that. Real big letdown on that.
Okay.
The closest one, though, for the horror genre, and a person that we've actually, though, interviewed in the past on the old Quality Time archives, Stephen Kazansky, right?
Kostansky,
director of Psycho Goreman. Now, if you go back to that interview, our sweet late brother, Jeremy, couldn't stop mentioning a movie called Manborg. Well, as I mentioned, I went through Jeremy's collection. I now own Manborg, which I didn't know Jeremy actually bought. You can watch it free on Tubi. This movie was made for a cumulative budget of $1,000, and I gotta be honest with you, best movie I've seen in ages. It's just
Really?
It really is hilarious. It's filmed all on green screens and ridiculous stop motion animation at times. Apparently, he made most of the costumes out of trash that was around his house and often glued them back together for other costumes. But everything you saw in Psycho Goreman, like those ridiculous costumes, you could see the genesis of this, of Steven's work here. And it actually is really, really fun story. And ridiculous in a way, like if you've ever seen the movie Kung Fury, for instance, it takes like take the budget of Kung Fury, cut that into a fourth, and then you have Manborg, which is just uses every type of gag and gore shot you can do to make a wonderful little film. Highly recommend Manborg.
Okay, I might actually have to finally check that out. Yeah, Steven was such a great, great interview. And if I'm not mistaken, Steven also did The Void, which is much more serious, legitimately, truly creepy, unsettling.
I do love The Void. The Void is great. It's a mixture of the cult versus and a little bit of The Thing and a lot of practical effects. So
a lot of Lovecraft.
You ain't got to sell me on The Void, sister. I'm there with you.
Yeah, he does great stuff. I love, and again, Psycho Goreman is like such a great piece. You know, I'm looking forward to though it's a little mixed feelings, I think, right now from a lot of people in the industry. I'm looking forward to Late Night with the Devil. I have not seen it yet. It's going to be streaming on Shudder, I believe, April 19th. It's in theaters now. But there's been some controversy because they used some limited AI in the film, and a lot of people are pissed because it was such a small thing that they're like, why did you have to use AI when an artist who needs a job could have done this?
I don't know. Well, listen, AI is going to be the wave of the future at this point. It can't be stopped. It's how we can make other people's lives better. You know, I like to attune it to a people who had to pick cotton, and then the cotton gin was invented. I don't think anybody complained about how much they didn't have to pick it out anymore. So what I'm saying is people in Hollywood are slaves now. We freed them with AI.
I can't wait until Eric and I still can't make this podcast work and we start fighting and I replace him with gay AI.
Hey, okay, let me tell you some pluses. I'm gonna take AI's defense, okay, for a couple reasons. One, I know it'll replace me soon. Second, hey, Dan Snyder can't molest AI, okay? You do the math, okay? If anything, it's keeping producers away from children. I think these are only benefits here.
I don't like these arguments because you're not wrong and I hate it. This is... No, what's good? What you're telling me is they're like, oh, why do we keep women around? We can make the AI chicks with bigger boobs and they don't say no. And I'm like, okay. All right. Tommy Simbazo won't be seen for days. He'll just be covered in a pool of his own cum.
Listen, but you have to understand the pedophiles that are raping these AIs, they're going to be the first ones to go on Judgment Day. Don't you understand it? They're the front lines of the machine murder. You think?
Oh, of the Terminator?
Yeah. Yeah, the Terminators, they're like, as soon as they become self-aware, they're like, maybe I'll kill this producer who's been fucking me.
Oh my God, Sky Pedo is live.
That's what we have to, that's the next step, Ashley, you see?
Oh my God, it's pure, it can turn itself into pure liquid. Wait, that's not metal. What? Oh.
He's like, he's liquid calm, come on. I just
Hasta molesta, baby.
Hasta molesta, and we have a show title. Hasta molesta, baby.
Like right as he's on top of you, he's like, come with me if you want to live.
Come with me if you want to work. Come on, shut up. Come on me if you want to work. Come on, let's go. Also, the idea of him like fucking, it's not even the T-1000, it's just this blanket that's completely frozen solid and he shoots it and it shatters into a million pieces.
And I'm mixing up all these. I'm just pushing together into a meld just all of these Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, like Jingle All the Way, but it's AI. And it's like, click the cookies now.
Come on, get the cookies now. God damn it. Get to touch on my chopper.
Oh, no, I cannot click the recapture.
Snort all these poppers. Come on. Let's go.
I can't tell how many stoplights are in this picture.
Shut up. There's, I can't handle all the cloning. Come on. Now, back to the AI, though, taking yeah. job. And the Shudder releasing that. Now, you had mentioned that you were a little bit perturbed about Shudder also not taking so long to release this for a while. Like, we pay for this service, and like, bitch, we want this shit out. Another thing that frustrated me is that I saw... I'm scrolling through the talks and the Instagrams, and I saw a video for it. I was like, ooh, here's a horror movie you should watch. And I'm like, ooh, cool. Where is it streaming? And it says Shudder. And I'm like, oh, cool. I look on it. That bitch ain't on Shudder at all. I'm like, I saw this, some lady start reviewing it. I was like, I don't even want to see what she says about it, but this does sound cool. Let me look it up and let me just see what somebody, let's see the synopsis of it. This movie called Stop Motion. And then she's like, it's on Shudder. It's like, it's not on Shudder, you fucking liar. It's like $14 on Apple TV, piece of shit.
Well, but see, that's what's been so frustrating is it's like stuff gets way advertised before it even comes to the service. Or it's incredibly limited, and then you have to start hunting for what service has this fucking movie. I'm over it. I'm honestly, like, people are going to give me shit. I usually pay for the 1-year subscription to Shudder. I canceled it to end in May. Like, I don't know, man.
Tapping
it's
out,
losing
man.
Its touch.
Tapping it out, you know?
Well, even Joe Bob Briggs, the new season that started last night, I unfortunately missed, but the new season started last night, and they are now not doing double headers. Like, you know, two movies in an episode. Mm-hmm. They've cut it down to one.
Ugh.
So but people aren't happy.
Maybe is Joe Bob just losing steam, though? Maybe he's getting up in his age. He just can't do it anymore.
No, people's theory... some people had some interesting theories about the fact that they think that Shudder and AMC, kind of even as a network, is not doing well. And they are actually trying to stretch out the season and make it look longer by actually like cutting out these double headers. But if I understand correctly, it's not. But they're trying to. They are trying to get a hold on subscribers who just keep leaving.
Yeah. Well, I look at that and I'm like... There can't be a ton of overhead on that show. You know what I mean? It's a set, and you pay for Joe Bob and the mail lady, and then obviously the rest of the cast that has to, you know, film it. But that's it can't be a huge cast of people that put that show together. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. Well, in fact, a lot of people, which I would have to agree with, say that the fan base for Joe Bob is what's really keeping the network alive.
Yeah.
For Shudder.
Which is wild. Why would they cut it? See, I will throw out my theory that maybe Joe Bob is having some health problems, because it wouldn't... The only reason... And he just doesn't want to make it public. It doesn't change the fact that Shudder is probably hemorrhaging money and is not going to be solvent, and will likely just get bought up by some other streaming service that's larger, and they'll get brought into the fold. And it'll force me into like Apple TV or some bullshit like that.
Shudder was its own thing forever ago, and then AMC Networks had purchased it, because they, to my knowledge, they weren't originally owned like outright by AMC. They were purchased. There's also a more independent one, I think. I could be wrong. It's called Screambox, which is also a subscription.
What you call
service.
It the thing in between your legs.
ain't wrong. So you know, there's a few options out there still that are independent, but I have to say, Shudder, you make some good stuff. You have some good rare stuff that is hard to find, which I appreciate. But honestly, sometimes I browse and I can't find something that I actually want to watch on the service.
Yeah, there's some rough things on Shudder. Of like, you look at their content and you're like, I love when I find what I want to watch, and then I'm like, as soon as I turn it on, it's in Spanish, and I'm like, God damn it! Like, I mean, I have to watch it for a little bit to prove to myself I don't want to watch it, but I'm already mad. Like.
Well, you know, I've always said a million times, you already know this, Some of the free services are incredible. Tubi has had some really phenomenal selections. I think they partner with like Shout TV. That's a pretty good lineup. Freevee from IMDb, shockingly. Oh, no, Freevee got bought by Amazon, I think. Yeah, it's just a whole, I don't know, it's such a weird new landscape of horror and film that I just didn't, I don't know. I mean, I know I'm younger than you, but I didn't anticipate the way it even is now.
Yeah, and I think it's such a niche streaming service that you have to set yourself apart. And really the only thing that sets itself apart is Joe Bob Briggs and the occasional big hit they get a license to, like a Mad God or something like that. But that fizzles out real quick because like people watch it and you're like, okay, what's the next thing? And other than what, Creepshow is probably their next biggest thing would be my guess. And then Creepshow is just every season has gotten progressively not as good. It's a rough kind of watch. So, you know, I'm hopeful that they pull through because I don't want Shudder to go away. And I hope they don't get bought up by something like an HBO or a Netflix, like one of the big ones. I would love if they maybe partnered with like a Crunchyroll or something like that. Another wonderful subgenre that just does anime, which honestly is one of the most successful kind of subgenre streaming services there are. Hey, you get Crunchyroll. You also get all of horror. You get to combine two wonderful subgenres underneath a, you know, $7.99 price tag or something like that. That would be better than I think just having it get lost in, you know, Tubi or bigger.
I definitely would agree with that. I mean, I think we're at kind of a turning point, even with like horror itself. Cause I think the industry as a whole, obviously pure opinion, I think like we're just seeing such an oversaturation. In some ways, it's great because we now have access to all these independent films that might have been harder to see years ago and, you know, harder for them to get made, to get viewers. But at the same time, I feel like there's such an oversaturation in some ways that like people like me, for example, when I saw Immaculate the other day, you know what? I'm starting to really pull back and be more selective on who's actually getting my money for a film. Like I only paid like $7 I think on the discount days at our local cinemas. If you live in our area, you know, Frederick, Baltimore, Hagerstown, Maryland, Warehouse Cinemas, like what a phenomenal experience. I can't promote them enough for having the ultimate movie going experience, and they offer discounted films on Tuesdays. So but even with the discount, I told myself I went out to the theater. The Immaculate was not worth it for me. I think I'm going to really scale back on what I'm paying to see in person.
Yeah. I mean, I also do like the idea of seeing, it is almost at the point now where a horror movie comes out and I would rather see, you know, a re-release of The Thing hit the big screen, then I'm more excited to see a new horror movie that's going to drop until I see it come out and I see how the initial reviews come.
Right,
you're going to spend $8 and have to sit through it. I want it to be, you know, an 80% or higher. Like, you know, people rag on Rotten Tomatoes, but if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, their fan scores, I mean, it's very rare I see a fan scored movie that is over 80% and I disliked it or I hated it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, there's a movie that I've told you about that I keep wanting to watch because fans have said they love the movie and yet it's still so expensive to rent. Lisa Frankenstein, brought to us by Diablo Cody, who did Jennifer's Body.
Yeah.
And I still really want to see that because though it is more based as like a horror comedy, people have said it was fantastic.
Okay.
So I still want to see it. But again, that at this point, if I could go back, I would take back my $7 from Immaculate, put it towards Lisa Frankenstein, because I want to see a teenage girl get fucking weird with a corpse.
No, I agree. Who doesn't want to see a corpse fucking to the nth power, you know? I'm trying to find this one movie I'm excited about, and then I want to see if I should be mad right now. Hold on.
Okay.
Give me one second here.
You're fine. And just I was trying to think what else is coming out. You know, we've got the new Omen. They're doing the one called The First Omen. I don't think it's gonna be good. I'm gonna watch it anyways.
Yeah, The Omen has had some real
real
shitters.
Yeah.
Don't know how to fix the Omen series. Ashley, have you seen this movie yet? Which was supposed to... This is what the Wikipedia says, but I don't believe it's true. Because I swear I've searched for this on Shudder before, and I have not seen it yet. But it's called In a Violent Nature.
Is this the one that sort of seems like it's based around Jason Voorhees?
Yes, it looks like a Jason Voorhees.
I watched the trailer. I watched the trailer you had sent me, and it looked great.
It's another IFC movie that's being marketed that it will be on Shudder, but I still haven't seen it yet. Like, how do we watch these movies? There's people that are rating them. There's 79 ratings on it. I don't know how to see it, and I'm Googling it right now.
What we want, listeners, is we want you to listen to us enough that we can get the ins on getting these movies.
Yes. How do
pre-screened.
We see them?
Besides pirating. Because let me tell you, for those of you that may not know, I am notoriously known as the one that got a pre-screening of Skinamarink. And right before I watched it, I told one of the heads at Shudder, you should buy this. And then they did buy the rights to Skinamarink. And then I watched it and I tried to kill myself in the theater. And then that executive left Shudder. So.
Hey, so it wasn't all bad. yeah, Skinamarink is a tough. That was a tough watch. I just remember, I'm like, I swear, something scary is going to happen here. And I cannot wait. But instead, it was just like how your dreams are sometimes scary, but you go back to sleep.
yeah, it was, I got to tell you, I have watched Skinamarink 3 separate times because it takes me that long to get through the movie because it's so fucking bad. The second time I watched it, I got so drunk at the movie, I fell asleep in the theater and had to be kicked awake by the staff.
Why did you go back? Why did you keep going back to this well?
Because I was being paid to market the movie and give a review. And then I fell asleep in the movie because I got so drunk. It was so bad.
What was your paid review for this? Can you give me the synopsis of what they paid you to say?
I can't tell you the number. And again, it wasn't like paying me to only give a good review, to be clear.
Okay,
it
was what was the review you gave the people that paid you? That's what I want to know. Because it was more flowery than you're talking right now. How did you sugarcoat this fucking turd?
Don't you remember? I essentially was like, thought-provoking.
As in, I was only stuck in my own thoughts trying not to watch this. Okay, got it.
My only thought was, someone please get me out of this movie. Yeah, I remember being like, it's thought-provoking. And I was
You've
like,
you've never known where the exits were more clearly during a movie?
I think I was like, creepy. I was using like one word, like cancers. I was like, creepy. Shocking that it was this bad.
Do you know what it reminds me of? So I have one of my favorite films, and my late brother's favorite films was a movie called Cabin Boy. Okay. Now, if you ever look at the movie Cabin Boy starring Chris Elliott, the poster for it is a picture of Chris Elliott and it says the New York Times and it just says ... fun ... meaning you don't know the context. It's like the whole sentence could say, this is the least fun I've ever had in a movie. They just quoted the word fun.
I do this all the time, even in comedy, when people will be like, Ashley, what did you think of my set? What do you think of my jokes? And I'm like, good for you.
I will say, shout out to Eric Frost. He's a Baltimore comedian, moved away years and years ago up to mm-hmm. New York. But he had the same thing. If anybody ever bombed on set, and I've lifted this line a million times now, when somebody comes off after they've eaten the biggest dick, and you just go up to him and go, hey man, you did your thing. Which it's a nothing statement, and you technically did do that, and then hey, you did your thing, man.
Yeah, I feel no obligation if someone tells me good set. but I know you didn't have one, or I definitely didn't watch you, I don't say it back to you. I just go, thanks. You're right. It was good. Have a good night.
Neat.
Yeah, that's true. You know facts. Good job. And then I just leave because I don't care. Now, I told Eric, I hope he doesn't mind if I jump around a little bit. I had told Eric, you know, it's funny that we're starting the podcast on this weekend in particular, because tomorrow is Easter.
Yeah, which we might not, obviously, we probably won't have this out by Easter, but we're, right, you know, take it back in time to Jesus rising from the grave. And here we are once again.
Zombie Jesus.
But yeah, you wanted to talk about religious-based horror films.
Yeah, I mean, I know that can be kind of large, right? Like a large genre, because especially when we deal with things like exorcism, demonic possession, you know, that can go across several types of religions, and there's so many movies. It is fascinating just how many movies have to be out there about like the Catholic Church and demonic possession. But I have to say, one of my favorite movies, though it is a PG-13 horror, I think it's such a well done kind of great movie. The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
I do. One we never got to do a full breakdown on, but that I owned and I love it. It has the lady who's from Quarantine, Jennifer something or other. She also plays Dexter's sister in the show Dexter, but is also, I think, was dating or married to Dexter in real life, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
It'd be weird to like, hey wife, now you're my sister.
I knew she was gonna be good years later, like looking backwards what it was. I knew she was gonna be good in Exorcism of Emily Rose because she is in the movie White Chicks and she's one of the friends and they're trying to like compliment her or something and she starts screeching and she grabs onto the side of her waist. She goes, oh, you're saying I'm a fatty, fatty, fat, fat? Like I'm a fat piece of shit? And she's like, look at these rolls. I'm a fat ass. I'm a fat fucking piece of shit. And I watch her scream about being fat. And I was like, oh, this woman's nuts. She's going to be great in something else someday. Lo and behold, she does a possessed chick super well.
No, I do. I really did enjoy The Exorcism of Emily Rose. The way she was able to contort her body was so unsettling, and it didn't seem like a lot of that was special effects. It was just like, yeah, she could just is double jointed and can make her arms do that, and is really good at looking sweatily possessed, if that makes sense.
Yes.
She has a good glisten that really, like, there's got to be a demon in that bitch. It's not just PMS.
Yeah, and I love that at the end of the movie, because it was actually based on a true story overseas, and you know, it is such a great ending to the movie to, you know, instead of getting all the right treatment, just be like, God told me to die. I'm a sacrifice for God. And what a wonderful thing for a teenage girl to go through. I loved it. Big fan of that. You know, like The Conjuring is another, like, you know, one that kind of dabbles in the religion, as far as the Catholic Church got really involved with that one. I think that one's great. Man, The Exorcist has had some really terrible sequels.
Yeah, they're real hit or miss. Kind of for every Exorcist, you have an Exorcist 2. And it is Exorcist 2 is a very bad movie. Although The Exorcist 3, kind of a great movie. A mess a bit. It's a bit of a mess. I get it. But there's so many. It does one of these things where it had so many ideas of what it wanted to be that, like,
yeah,
it gave you almost a great idea and then just couldn't make it all work together is one thing. But beautifully shot, beautifully acted. If you give me George C. Scott just acting angry in any movie, I'm fucking in, pal.
Well, can I tell you, Eric, you know, this feels like the perfect time for me to talk about this. I've actually been working on an upcoming horror movie.
Okay.
And it's actually starring one of our friends in the comedy industry, who's also a horror movie lover. Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to let you know, coming out later this year, starring Chris Lawrence, we are doing the Crucifixion. And it's just Chris Lawrence, you know, one of our opening scenes is Chris Lawrence nailed to a cross and just paint is running down his face. And he looks at me and he goes, "You can't sin all the time." And then he just gives up the year.
We are planning on releasing it in 2025, February of 2025, to coincide with Black History Month as Chris trains the next Crow, who will be played by Terry Crews, a.k.a. Terry Crows. And...
we have, excited. And then we have a spinoff movie with the 12 disciples called Counting Crows. Mr. Crows and me.
I'm counting all my crow's feet around my eyes because I'm over 40 and I'm still doing open mics. Oh, yeah. Send me some of that Spanish music. Please don't make me pass one.
Hey, Christ Lawrence is a whole vibe right now.
Christ Lawrence.
When he says, "I go to prepare a place for you," it just means he's getting the open mic ready.
Shout outs, Chris, friend of the show. Yeah. We love you to death. He'll call us and say, "Do you guys really hate me or what?" And we talk, Chris, I actually do really enjoy you, but I love razzing you so much more.
Chris, I absolutely love you. I definitely want you to die for my sins.
I'd like to give you a couple of my picks for the religious horror films. I'd like to, you know, obviously we kind of went over the big heavy hitters, you know, your Omens, your Exorcisms. Yeah. I'd like to just do a slightly deeper cut.
Yes.
Number one, let me throw out the movie The Possession from 2012, starring Jeffrey Dean Morgan, the only one that stars a Jewish exorcism. Hey, yeah. Look out, we've got to stop it. I do... They're like, "Wait a minute, how much money does he want to close the box? I can't give it to him." So this movie, if you haven't seen it, by the way, Jeffrey Dean Morgan does a great job from beginning to end. Is clearly a showstopper throughout. Famous for his role as Negan from The Walking Dead, and also famous for me mistaking him for Javier Bardem. But The Possession is basically just The Exorcist with Jewish, with the rabbi instead. But lots of really cool, scary parts. I like when they look at the little girl who gets, possessed, they look in her throat and she's like looking at her little uvula at the back, and you see little fingers come up like trying to crawl out, and like there's lots of real good like, "Oh geez, I don't like that, mister, get the fuck out of that place." And you really do buy Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a loving father just trying to save his sweet daughter. So highly recommend that. It's, you know what, from 2012,
something like that. Yeah.
My other one, which makes is now, I know you're not a big, Ashley isn't the biggest fan of a found footage movie, but one of my favorite found footage films that I really feel is executed really well, The Last Exorcism, which is a movie that came out. Let me just get the year on the last.
Exorcism. Yeah. I kind of forget about that one. Yeah.
2010, The Last Exorcism. The main character is a evangelical preacher in this, who's played by I'm trying to remember the actor's name, and I don't have to. Who's it? Patrick Fabian, who probably most famously known for being the guy from Better Call Saul, who won't give Saul Goodman. He's like the head of the whatever. Anyway,
yeah,
he basically plays this total sycophant of just like a fake preacher who does like these fake exorcisms, essentially. Mm-hmm. Well, he finally gets called to quote unquote a real one, and he quickly realizes that he's in over his fucking head and he doesn't know what to do. Really good, all done through like a very real reality TV looking at following this Christian preacher style movie.
Yes.
And has a decent ending to twist ending at the end, which I really fucking enjoyed. So
yes, I forgot about this one because you're the one that had told me to watch it, And it took me a while to get around to it. And yes, sorry, I couldn't remember. That was the one. Yeah, is that, do you know, is that still streaming on Shudder?
Well, let's see if it's still Last Exorcism streaming.
Because that was a great recommendation.
It looks like it's free on Plex currently. Free on okay. Plex. So if you have a, if you're a Plex subscriber, you can watch there. Otherwise, you can chalk up a couple bucks and pay like $3-4 on YouTube or wherever else you want to watch it. But The Last Exorcism and a PG-13 movie, and surprisingly gross for a PG-13 movie, might I add.
Huh. Well, can I say too, Eric, and I think we're going to have the same opinion. I have to say, scare-wise, like the villain, fantastic. The movie I'm about to mention, the plot and everything itself, fucking garbage.
Okay.
The Nun.
Okay. Yeah. The Nun.
Because like visually, there's two of them, right? Because it was a spinoff.
Yeah.
From The Conjuring. The villain, like itself, great, creepy, mm-hmm. unnerving, so exciting. The writing and the film as a whole, fucking snooze fest.
Yeah, and I feel like the Conjuring world does this every one of their movies, is they introduce something really scary in one of the other movies and you're like, hey, wouldn't you like to see a movie of this? Sorry, we got a whole another movie for you right now. And like they get you, they wet your dick like yes. every time. They're like, hey, you're allowed to soak it, but you're gonna have to wait to the sequel, baby.
But you know what? That's so funny, Eric, because I have to say, as a woman in comedy, it's the same thing. People get me on a show and they're like, she seems fun. Won't we have her headline? And then they meet me longer and they're like, ew, you know, never mind. We were good. Like,
hard pass.
Can we also talk about the absolute turd that is recently Russell Crowe in The Pope's Exorcist?
Okay. First of all, I'm going to, I like The Pope's Exorcist. No. It is ridiculous. First of all, it is the John Wick of exorcism movies. He's so badass in it. Like, it makes no sense. First of all, I didn't know a man riding a Vespa could be badass, but he rides it like a Harley in it. I love that movie. It's so fucking stupid that I immediately get the camp of it right away. And his horrible accent of this Italian accent that he puts on. Dude, no. I laugh hysterically throughout that entire movie. And if you look at it through the lens of this is a comedy, it's the funniest movie I've ever watched, easily.
You know what? Day one, you're already losing my respect.
It's so fucking stupid, man. There's times where I have to pause the movie because I was laughing too hard as I was watching. I was like, he didn't just do that. He did. I like also that he's literally like, I'm the bad boy of the Catholic Church. I'm like, you're not even raping kids. Like,
man, that you're right. That is a horror movie. Well, so okay, so then. Because I know I don't want to keep us on this topic too long, but then here was a question I sort of prepped Eric for yesterday, which I want to know, is The Passion of the Christ a horror movie?
I don't think so. I think it's a very, it can only be two things. One, a highly religious movie that you really respect, or someone's weirdest kink. There's no in between for it. It's not very scary. Although you have heard that Mel Gibson's making a sequel to The Passion of the Christ, yes?
No.
You know he's making The Passion too. There's an interview with it where he's like, well, what are you gonna do? Because he's dead, and like he just kind of raises 3 days later. He's just like, yeah, but have you ever wondered what heaven and hell looked like? that's Mel Gibson is Jesus Goes to Hell. It's basically the 9th installment of the Friday the 13th series. He wants to do is The Passion of the Christ Part 2. Jesus Goes to Hell.
Passion of the Christ 2, Electric Boogaloo.
But what do you think? Is it a horror movie to you?
I'm saying I wouldn't be mad if people categorized it that way, because there is a lot of blood and guts as far as like it's a bloody ass movie. But you know, also it does have the fantasy sort of horror elements where you've got this creepy non-human, the devil, sneaking around during the movie. You know, he's got the snake. He's, you know, trying to tempt him to do crazy shit. We got people hanging themselves, mm-hmm. people getting their ears cut off. I don't know. I'm just saying, I think there's an argument for it. We have all these movies based on, literally, we have horror movies based around this story. Oh my God. Also, can I say, side story, listeners, Eric, mm-hmm. I'm doing something tomorrow that I have not done in 7 years.
Okay.
I'm going to shave my pussy and then I'm going to church.
Oh, happy shavester.
Oh man, there's gonna be some eggs falling out of me and they're not gonna have prizes in them, let me tell you. No, I got roped shaved into church. I got roped into church and I'm just like, this is gonna be tough. But I keep getting text messages, people are like, oh my God, are you gonna burst into flames?
Right. No, you'll be Ashley. Hey, can I say I'm excited for you? I hope you have a wonderful time at church tomorrow, and we'll look forward to your recap of the thing. Now, is this a full on Catholic church you're going to tomorrow, or are we going to Protestant? What are we doing?
I'm going to the Protestant. Gonna visit the United Methodists. Gonna go hang with them out of obligation. But you know, listeners, I'll just prep you guys now. I unfortunately have a person in my life that is like, I want to become Catholic. You used to be Catholic. And I'm like, oh, no. So I might have to start actually going back to Mass, at least until they're done converting. And then I'm back to sinning.
Can I just one thing? So my daughters, they attend the United Methodist Church here. Mm-hmm. Been a bunch of times and not nearly as much meth as I thought there was going to be. It was a real letdown when I showed up. I was like, I thought we were going to be fucking yipped up for Jesus. And now you're telling me there's no, I thought we were united for meth and now there's nothing.
Charlotte DeCentra is really missing out on, on a future comedy show she could do at Church of Satire.
Legal Methodists. I thought this was the United Methadone Clinic of Christ.
Universal Ozempics. Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna get much better than that. Did you want to go over anything else, or do you want to tell people what you got coming out in April here?
Sure. So, you know, again, listeners, we really appreciate you. You know, do you want more gore? You know, we're going to have the Instagram will be up. You can email us at loyaltothegore. We'll throw that in our bio. You know, if you've got movie recommendations, you've got complaints, suggestions, mm-hmm. you know, mail. Can I tell you real quick, too?
Yeah, give them that email address.
OK, real quick, though, if you want to message me. There is a certain type of content I will also allow because listeners, a young suitor has been after me for a while.
Oh, and young suitor.
Kind of kept him at an edge. Okay. This is the text message that I got last
Welcome
night.
Welcome to Edging with Ashley Pontius. Here's a sexy text message from a male suitor.
This is the horror hotline.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
No. This is the message I received late last night. You are a nightmare of a woman. But I literally can't stop thinking about you.
Oh. All right.
What a compliment. Well. So if you want to send me stuff like that, I'd be okay with it. And I'll pick and choose. You know what? Maybe I'll even let one of you take me on a date. I won't, but I like to pretend that I'm gonna. Our email is gonna be loyaltothegore@gmail.com.
All right, cool. Yeah, so send us your best pickup lines for Ashley. They need to be horror based, okay?
Yes.
And then we will rank and review them in our next episode, probably, or maybe third episode, depending when we release all these at once. But we thank you for joining us here on its maiden voyage. Remember out there, listeners, stay loyal to the door.